I'm going to give you a t-shirt with Jesse Jackson's face on it. And I'm going to find it. I know you think it might
be drawn in Sharpie.
I made charcoal, maybe crepeau charcoal.
Jeez.
Maybe a cutout, just a cutout.
Just let them of a face.
I'm not kidding though. I'm going to guarantee this to you. I'm not lying. I will send you a shirt that will have an image of a campaign button or sign from Jesse Jackson's campaign from 84 or 88. Just specify to the operator. And you think I'm joking? I'm a very funny person. I happen to be serious right now. How about that? Okay. You guys, we got to get going because the donations, people have been, not only are they donating, but they've been making threatening phone calls because they have to wait in line.
Well, they're passionate.
They're passionate people. So, guys, come back to the show. Give us some money. Call 516-620-3602. 516-620-362. Check us out every week. Wednesday at 6 p.m. This is the Katie Halper Show. I'm your host, Katie Halper, with Gabe Pacheco and Reggie Johnson. And we will see you next week. And don't forget to come to the live show. Bye.
Once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. The time now is 7 p.m. Stay tuned for another expanded edition of the Personal Computer Show. Coming up.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key. I'm in the studio with Reggie, and he's sitting in for Stevie, who always seems to be late or having a case of asthma. And joining me on remote this evening on this extended edition from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. is Joe King. Hi there, Joe.
Hi, Hank, and welcome aboard.
Well, let me get the volume adjusted. I can barely hear you.
I can barely hear you, but that's not a great loss, I suppose, as long as the audience can hear you.
Well, can you hear me better now?
I heard you perfectly in the first place.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen, we got a great show tonight or this evening. And you know what? At 7 o'clock, this is not our usual time. Let me just say that we are on this extended period from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And normally Off the Hook is on. And for the Off the Hook fans, we're on their hour. We hope you could stay tuned and listen to us. And they'll probably be back on next week at this time at 7 p.m. Joe, there's one thing I want to cover. And, you know, this is a membership drive, and one of the things that we always talk about is what premiums we have. And I think we got something very exciting, at least for now. And, you know, we have this urgent care pack that I keep talking about, but I'm going to make sure that this item is included because Microsoft made an announcement last week that was under the radar, and most people are not even aware of it.
I'm not aware of it. What is it, Hank?
Well, I call it Windows 7 Life Support. And if you don't mind, I got a little giddy the other day, and I figure, you know what, I might as well make fun of the politics in this world today, and I know you don't like that, but let me just give it a try, okay?
I'm sorry, Hank, I can't agree with you, because politics lately are not funny.
Yeah, well, you know, there are millions of Americans who are content with the Windows 7 operating system. They like their graphical user interface. And most importantly, they value their familiarity with the operating system.
Yeah.
They trust its stability. And that means no matter how Microsoft reforms the user interface, well, Microsoft will keep this promise, however, to the American people. If you like Windows 7, you will be able to keep your Windows 7 until January 14th, 2020, period. If you like your user interface, you'll be able to keep it, although it will be with a third-party utility. No one will force Windows 10 on you, no matter what. Well, that's a takeoff on you-know-what, but actually, Microsoft has been listening to us. And before I continue, let me welcome Stevie Deeby, who just came in off the West Side Highway. How you doing, Stevie?
Oh, Tay. Wow, the traffic out there. Way too many cars.
Way too many cars.
Way too many to drive.
Hey,
so
Joe,
slow.
You hear that? You see, while you're back on remote on drinking your tequila, Stevie, can't drink and drive at the same
time. What was he doing on the West Side Highway?
I was in Central Park playing my djembe for the tourists.
The last time you told me you were playing your djembe, you had Taylor Swift come by to say hello to you. I
love Taylor.
Yeah, well, I think that if you were good, she would have come by a second time, right?
We got that going.
No, actually, what happened was that Microsoft did something very different last week. What they said was that with Windows 7. They said that, of course, there's no updates per se. They stopped the updates in January of last year, 2015. However, they will continue with security updates through January 14th, 2020. And let's face it, there are people still using Windows 7 for a whole lot of reasons.
Yep.
Because some applications just may not have been converted, or you have some very expensive equipment like medical equipment still dependent on Windows 7, and drivers are just not readily available for Windows 10. A lot of legitimate reasons. And, when I look at the install base of Windows 7, it's very high. It's about 35-40%. In other words, it's a big market, and Microsoft will have a long time before they can really convert everyone over. So now, one of the things that, Joe, I know that you've gone through this experience before, is that there are times you just have to rebuild the operating system, right?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And we say, okay, you did your thing. You have your original distribution disk, and you installed it. Okay, that's fine. And let's say your distribution disk had Windows 7 SP1, which is a Service Pack 1. No problem. Hey, how about those 230-plus updates that you got to add to it? And that can add hours, especially one patch at a time. Well, Microsoft said, I'll tell you what, as of last Friday, they have taken all the patches that has been released and that is applicable since SP1. In other words, SP1 for Windows 7, and they have what is called roll-up updates. They don't call it SP2, but they call it roll-up updates. And they have two versions of it available. One is for the 64-bit operating system, and the other one is for the 32-bit operating system.
Now, this is officially from Microsoft. It's not one of these hacked-together things that we...
Right. That's the good news. That's great. In other words, what they're saying is, tell you what, instead of, if you have to rebuild your operating system, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to make all of these updates officially available. It's not called SP2. It's called roll-up updates. And I said, great. So I started looking for it, and I looked for it, and I looked for it, and I found it, and I said, great, I'm going to download it. There's a catch, Joe.
What's the catch? There always is one.
Well, in a way, I can't blame them, okay? You have to use Internet Explorer to download
it. Really?
And you need to have the latest copy of Internet Explorer to download it.
That's not the first time that's happened. I've had that with a lot of major patches and roll-ups. They often do that.
Well, but they don't tell you that until you start the download. Like I started with Chrome. It didn't work. I said, gee, how come? Then I use Opera. It didn't work.
Didn't it report? Because normally when that happens with Microsoft, it reports you're not using the proper operating system.
No. You do have the proper operating system. It's just you don't have the proper defined browser.
Yeah, but they don't always tell it to you that way.
They don't say it that way. They said, you just had a browser error.
Right.
So we have that included in this urgent care pack, and there's a couple other new things that are in this urgent care pack. And when we talk about urgent care pack, we're really talking about compiling things that you're going to have a hard time finding. Or if you can find it, that's fine. But if you...
Didn't you tell me, Hank, that for the first time Microsoft has said that you might not have enough memory in order to update your computer?
Well, I don't think anyone took them seriously on that, because what they said was that they announced that with Windows 10, you will need 2 gig of store, 2 gig of memory to run. And that to me is sort of like, come on, it's a given. Everyone has at least 2 gigs to run 7, but they lied, okay? You know, they said you could run Windows 7 with 1 gig. Yeah. In other words, it'll take you, for the time you get from here to Pluto, that's how fast it runs, okay? So, but let me tell you another thing that Microsoft did, and I just couldn't include it into the urgent care pack, but I will make it so you can know where to get it, okay? The problem I have is that with Windows 7, there are 4 different versions of it. There's a minimum of 4 different versions, and you have Windows 7 Home Premium, you have Windows 7 Pro or Ultimate, but in each case you have 32-bit or 64-bit, so like that's 4 different versions of it. And, you know, if I were to say we can make that available to you, what Microsoft did was they also said, we realize that when you have to rebuild your system, you look for your distribution either on the hidden partition, which many people might have killed, might have corrupted, might have lost, or you don't know where you put the disk. So guess what? They have made Windows 7 the full distribution for any one of those 4 copy versions available free of charge.
That's good.
But you have to download it, okay? Now, rather than me download, it's almost like 3.5 gigs with each one. It's, you know, it would have been 4 DVDs and so on. I don't want to add to the cost to the station to do it. But what I will do is include it. I'll tell you what the URL is, and I realize that it may take you 2 hours to download it, but it'll be worth it. If you don't have a copy of it, you want it, right? So what Microsoft has done for this Windows 7 life support is, instead of you're going to be converting right away, they recognize that some people will delay converting it for a very legitimate reason. They also recognize the need to be able to rebuild that operating system, where just because you have those updates that you put on, you might have added some new equipment or new software, and all of a sudden, when you're trying to look for these updates, they don't apply. So what they did was they came up with the equivalent of a network update. In other words, they took all the patches, whether it's applicable to your system or not. So this way, when you apply the patches, if it's applicable, done. If it's not applicable, they skip over it. That's good, okay? And they also made available the ability to download the distribution of Windows 7. Now, this is only for Windows 7. Windows 8, forget about it. They're not addressing that at all. But I think that's
why do you think they're not addressing it in 8 or 8.1?
Because the install base is single digit right now.
Of 8 and 8.1.
Yeah, 8 and 8.1, I think, is down to 6-7%. And, I mean, they're looking at it from a business point of view. Most of the users, right now, the install base of 7 is around 40 to 45%. The install base of XP is supposedly 11, 12%, but I suspect it's a lot higher, because I know that I've gone to my doctors. I got different doctors, as you know. You look at the instruments. They're still running Windows XP. They have medical devices on it. It's not online. There's no fear of it being, compromised. But the thing is, when they measure install base, they look at people who go online to the internet, and based on that, they can determine what operating system you're running. But these systems won't show up at all, okay, in the account. So now, if you add up the Windows 7 and XP, you're well over, 50-55% of the installed base, if not even higher than that. And then the install base of the 8 and 8.1 is a single digit, and I think many people... By the way, Joe, people have contacted me, and they ask, should they be upgrading to Windows 10? Let me see if I can give an answer today. If you are running 8 and 8.1, try to get to 10 as soon as you can. If you're running Windows 7, make sure you feel comfortable. Make sure that you have all the drivers. In other words, unless there is pressure to do it, you can wait, okay? Now, I just want to indicate that Windows 10, the upgrade is free to July 28th. But come July 28th, they made a pretty firm announcement saying starting July 29th, the upgrade will no longer be available. So
It's a free upgrade.
As a free, right, okay. So there are two things that I recommend that you do. If you want to hold off upgrading and you want to do it at your convenience and not have the pressure of upgrading to Windows 7, you could download the Windows 10 free version. There are different places you can get it. Now, I just, of course, I'm talking about WBAI. We have one of the premiums is that we have on DVDs all the different versions of Windows 10, be it 32-bit or 64-bit, where you can, if you have it, then you could always do the upgrade to Windows 10 because you have the distribution disk ahead of time, and you don't have to worry about, I gotta do it, or I have to find where to download it. And now, these versions of Windows 10 are straight from Microsoft. That's what's being made available from WBAI. You have to be a tech insider to get it, but once you have it, you could, you know, they don't stop you from, passing it off to someone else. This is not a, in a true sense, a free copy of a new install of Windows 10. It's an upgrade. In other words, if you have Windows 7 and it's a legit copy, or 8 or 8.1, you have a legit copy, it will do the upgrade where you don't need the serial ID for Windows 10. However, if you want to treat it as a new install on a, let's say, virgin machine, you will need the a serial ID, and that you could purchase separately from Microsoft. So we do have that available. It's a $75 requested donation, and we have on four different DVDs. So whether it's 32 bits or whether it's 64 bits or home premium or professional Windows 10, these discs can be used either as upgrade or as new install. So even if you have a brand new Windows 10 system that you bought, of course, you know what it is now with these machines, Joe. The distribution software is on a hidden partition. They're sneaky now. They make it very difficult with these manufacturers. You can't copy it out anymore unless I know how to hack it, okay? But, you know, you have to either know how to hack it or, like in the case of HP and Lenovo, you want a copy of the distribution, which is on the hidden partition? $15, $20, and we'll send you the DVD.
You don't mean we'll send it. They mean they'll send it.
They'll send it, but they're going to charge for it.
Yeah, but we will not send it. Folks, don't misunderstand.
No, right.
He has trouble with the language.
No, well, actually, if you think about it, if you could tell us, you know what? We don't care whether it's 32 or 64, whether it's a home premium or pro. If you, we have this premium where we have all four installable discs that we can make available.
And folks want that. How do they ask for it, Hank?
Well, there's a phone number, 516-620-3602. I say that slowly because it's a brand new number.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
It's not a familiar number with everyone. And
what's that number?
516-620-3602.
Now, if you have a landline like the landline I keep for the office here, the extra one, and you can't dial a 516 number, you can always go to www.wbai.org. And you'll find a place there to make the donation of the pledge, and ask for that particular premium.
Yeah. In other words, it is we call it I think what we call it is that we have these four discs, which are available, and they're really the Windows 10 support. And the other one that we talked about, so it's a little confusing, Joe. I don't want to confuse anyone.
But you don't want to confuse anyone. Hell, we're all confused now, Hank.
Well, the Windows 10. It's called Windows 10 Free Upgrade Distribution Discs. I'll repeat that. Windows 10 Free Upgrade Distribution Disc, and the requested donation is $75. The number is 516-620-3602. And the other thing that we talked about was the Urgent Care Disc and the Urgent Care Pack. It's a DVD. And on it are a whole bunch of utilities that we'll go over. Maybe I'll go over it briefly. But in other words, very often when you're building a system or you have a problem with a system, like I'll give you an idea, okay? You deleted your data by accident. Is the data really deleted, Joe?
No.
Yes, absolutely. It's gone. It's you can only get it back with magic.
Okay, we have the magic dust for you, okay? Yeah. In other words, on this urgent care pack, we have a bunch of utilities. Some of the utilities is the ability to recover a file, the ability to recover a partition. You might have accidentally killed a partition. How do you recover a partition? We also have on there, you lost your product key. How can you find out what the product key is? That's like, say, a good example is you have Office. You have a product key for Office. And you have these disks. You found a disk, and you have to reinstall it because you're rebuilding it. But you can't find the product key because it was on a little slip of paper, and you don't know where you put it. So we have this stuff for you, okay? It's called the Urgent Care Pack.
What about if you lose your password?
If they're Microsoft-related packages, you can also recover. So, in other words, we have utilities that would tell you what
the
passwords are.
We got a letter the other day. I passed it on to you from an old-time listener who's trying to help a next-door neighbor, an older woman who has forgotten what her Windows password was.
Yep, we have utilities on this urgent care pack. So this urgent care pack has these utilities. But it also have what I call the Windows XP and Windows 7 legacy support, which includes that Windows 7 life support, okay? That Windows 7, in other words, I'm sure that one of the big things about it is those roll-up updates. That's a big deal, Joe, being able to have those roll-up updates.
What do you mean by a roll-up update?
These are all the Windows 7 updates from the time they release Service Pack 1 till January 14th, 2015.
And what would wild guess? How many different updates were there in that?
It's slightly under 250 updates.
Now, my friends, if you don't know how this goes, try it someday, because I tried it. And Hank might tell you it'll take several hours. I'm going to tell you it's going to take several times, several hours.
Yeah. By the way, With this roll-up, you do it in one shot. I have done it where I had to rebuild a Windows 7 system, and I used Microsoft Windows Update. And because of the heavy demand on the Windows 7 Windows Update, because they're pushing out Windows 10, is they give you a little piece of update, and then you have to reboot your system. Then they give you a little more update. You got to reboot your system. It is maddening. It really is.
If you think you're going to need this kind of an update, trust me, the pledge you make to WBAI is going to be a bargain, unbelievable bargain.
So let me just talk about those two premiums. We have other premiums, but again, 516-620-3602. I want to cover a little piece of news right now, Joe, and I think it's
let me just give out the URL again. If you're unable to dial that phone number, go to www.wbai.org or there's an alternate address I was just told, give to WBAI. That's G-I-V-E, number two, WBAI.org, and you will be brought to the place where you can make a donation and ask for a specific pledge.
Okay. Now, I may end up repeating this because we're on the an extended edition of the Personal Computer Show, and in the past 2 weeks, since we were on 2 weeks ago, a lot of people came up to me and say, it seems like you were on before 8 o'clock. I said, yes. They didn't realize we were on at 7 o'clock. They said, what did you cover? And I told them what I covered. They said, we missed it. So I may end up repeating this again because this is worthwhile, okay?
Just for them, huh?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we've been telling people is that, you know, a pop under, pop up, pop over. In other words, you get a window that pops up on your screen while you're running. And, of course, the biggest culprit right now is Microsoft. They keep coming up and ask you about Windows 10 upgrade, right?
Have you told the folks about that nastiness?
Nope, I haven't yet, and I'm going to talk about it now, okay?
Please do. This is really important. Listen, folks, you're listening. It might not concern you, but really, listen to Hank because you're going to want to tell your neighbors and your friends and your relatives all around.
It is a big deal.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Now, when you get this pop-up from Microsoft, and it's legitimately from Microsoft, they say, do you want to, they say, upgrade window to Windows 10, and then you could say yes or no, or some of the later messages is later or not now. Download but don't install. But now, just recently, by the way, when you get messages like that, normally you either look for no, decline, or you exit out, right, Joe?
Up in the corner, the upper right-hand corner, there's always an X, and I always use that instead.
Okay, now, the new message from Microsoft is, do you want to do a Windows 10 upgrade, and all you see is yes?
What happened to the no?
It's not there.
What about the little X up in the right-hand corner?
It's there. So what do you do?
Hit the X.
No, Stevie. Guess what? It means yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does now.
That's what's nasty.
That is nasty. That's
up till now, I've only seen this technology being used by malware.
Yeah, malware. Yeah. Malware does that, okay? So we forewarn people that just because you see an X there, we're so used to thinking X exit out, it's not. To me,
that's dirty.
Is there a way around this, Hank?
Yeah. Well, there's actually two ways around it, and I would recommend that you only use one of the two because Microsoft is going to go the extra mile to get you.
Control-Alt-Delete.
In the taskbar, you know, you have the a little icon, okay, and you just close it out, all right? But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
Wait a minute. That means you have to right-click on the icon and then say close window.
But I would not put it past Microsoft to say close means yes.
Yes, that's the next step if they find a lot of people are using that.
That's right.
Task manager,
so what you do is you go to the task manager by hitting Control-Alt-Delete and then literally
exit out.
Or there's a third one, which is absolutely, you know, that will work is, go to the start button and do a restart. You know?
Oh, come on. Restart the whole computer? Who does that anymore?
Well, Stevie, let me just say this, all right? You know, trust, branding, reputation is earned, and I think Microsoft is making a huge mistake. They cross over the line. You know, when you
build. You know, I started marketing many, many years ago. And they said then, and it's true today, it takes you many, many, many years to build trust with your customer, and it just takes one mistake to lose all that trust.
You, how about something that is non-related to computers like Volkswagen?
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, I know that, you know.
40 years it took them to build the trust that they lost last year.
I got to tell you, you know, we have a car that is 16 years old, and it's been in the repair shop a number of times, and we're saying, look, you know what, maybe we should just get a new car. And one of the brands I was looking at was Volkswagen. I just dropped it from the list.
I've told you that a long time ago.
Well, you had different reasons for it.
I said, don't buy Volkswagen. Don't buy Japanese cars. Don't buy Korean cars. Yeah. Don't trust cars from Detroit.
You had a Cadillac, didn't you?
Seriously, that bit about Windows 10 on the upgrade, if you have friends that are still using Windows 7 or 8, let them know about it. It is a trap. It really is very nasty. I really am very upset that Microsoft...
But the strange thing is, I have three or four machines that are running on Windows 7, and not one of them have ever gotten a pop-up message to upgrade. Why is that?
Wow, that's strange.
Very strange.
There are different reasons for it, okay? I'm not going to go into it now.
Right? Why not?
Why didn't he get... I always get the pop-up.
Yeah.
Why didn't he get it? Oh, they don't like you, Joe, anyway, remember?
No, they do like me. That's why they're not pushing the pop-up.
Oh, boy. Hey, we've just passed the first half hour of the...
How many of you folks out there, let me see a show of hands, how many of you raised your hand to say you've helped BAI, the personal computer show, along, you've pledged some money? Show of hands now, come on. Hey, wait a minute, you guys out in the People's Republic, let's see some hands out there. Hands.
I see Bobby.
I see a few in Flushing.
I see Billy. I see Sarah.
Well, let's put it this way. If you happen to be a friend of Stevie, come on, pick up the phone and call 516-620-3602.
Oh, yeah.
And if
if you can't make a long-distance call, go to www.wbai.org or give to G-I-V-E number 2-W-B-A-I.org and make a pledge that way.
By the way, one of the things that I've done is that on this urgent care pack, I've been building up all the tech tips that we've been going over. And, of course, I will include where you download the Windows 7 distribution. It's going to be in this urgent care pack. But also in this urgent care pack is something that Microsoft, again, you know, when they have a good thing for consumer, somehow it's always under the radar. They kind of mention it, and then you can't find it anymore. You know that? But now, I've gotten a number of phone calls from people saying, I think you said something on the radio. I don't know exactly when. But did you say that if you upgrade your system from Windows 7 to Windows 10 and you have Home Premium, that they will give you a code to convert Windows 10 Home Premium to Windows 10 Professional? The answer is...
At no charge.
At no charge. I said, yes. And they would say, can you give it to me? And I says, you know what? It's too many numbers to give you. It's so easy to make a mistake. But it is on the urgent care pack. And I would tell people on the urgent care pack...
How many numbers is it?
Just do it. Huh? It's 5 times 6 is 30 characters.
Well...
So do a copy and paste.
I would suggest a copy and paste.
You know, one of the problems I have with the product key that is a when Microsoft publishes it and it's on these packages, I have a hard time because they got these what do you call them, serifs?
The script font.
Yeah, script fonts with the serifs on it, and is that a one or is it an is it a L?
They usually don't use lowercase L's anymore.
They don't?
No.
For just the reason you're saying. You can't tell the difference between a numeric one and a lowercase L.
I got to tell you, being a senior citizen, I have a hard time, with these small letters, whether it's a 2 or a Z.
They still use O's and zeros.
No. O's and zero, but, when I was going to school... Or in the early days of computing, and O would have a slash right through it.
Well,
right?
That was the European tradition, and
they don't do it anymore.
Carried it on into computers for a long while, but I've noticed the last couple of times I've needed a long serial number, it didn't have the O with the slash anymore. It had either a round O or a somewhat vertical ovoid O, and the ovoid O was the alpha. And the round O was the numeric, And that's pretty stupid because my eyes are getting pretty weak, and I don't know how much longer I'll be able to translate that.
Well, we're going to continue with this, but let me just tell everyone, this is WBAI-FM 99.5 New York. This is a personal computer show on an extended edition. We're on from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and normally during this hour, it's off the hook. They'll be back next week, I hope. I hope we're all back on next week. I don't know with the current management. But we're in membership mode. I guess that's the way to call it. Joe, there's something else I do want to talk about, and that's I was looking at some numbers, and I was shocked by it. Maybe I shouldn't be shocked by it, okay? Is that for the first quarter of this year, in other words, January, February, and March of 2016, if you look at it from an operating system point of view, you have, I'm talking about for PCs now, okay? You have the Windows operating system, of course, obviously, everything is now being shipped as Windows 10. You have the Mac OS X system. You have Chromebooks. And then you also have, in fact, I don't know any manufacturer really shipping Linux systems, okay? Now, number one, obviously, is Windows. Chromebook has overtaken the Mac in shipments, Joe.
What?
Yep.
Are you sure about that, or are you misreading it?
Nope. I checked it, and I was shocked, so I went to...
But when you stop and consider, Hank, that you can't print from a Chromebook, that says something very strange to me.
Yeah, but you know what? I checked a couple of sources, like, IDT is one source about shipments. Then I checked the Gartner Group, but they also have a separate, everyone is tracking PC shipments, okay?
Hey, Hank, I just got a call from a guy in New Jersey. He said that he had Windows 8.1, and he went to exit, like you said, and it automatically downloaded 8 and asked him, do you accept it or decline it? And he was afraid to decline it, so they bamboozled him, and now he's got 10.
He got bamboozled, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I told you about that X,
well, yeah,
right?
Well, he's got Windows 8, that's why.
Yeah, okay. What Stevie's saying is that this thing that they started last week, a listener called up to say, now he used the word bamboozle. I know what the word bamboozle means, but do you think younger people know what the word means?
No, they have to be.
They got a different word, but we can't say it on the air.
Why? You can't say screwed?
That's not what I was thinking.
Look behind
about.
You. There's a seven words over there.
I'm very mindful of
Let
those
me
seven
read them
words.
To you so
no,
you know
no,
what
no,
not
no,
to say.
No, no. We're very mindful of those seven words, okay? He got bamboozled. Now, this is a case where, unfortunately, I had known about this last week, but we were not on the air. And, of course, this fellow that called up probably wished we had been on the air so that, we could have warned him on it, all right? But let me go back to... the Chromebook, okay? I'm not talking about Android now, okay? I'm talking about Chrome. I don't think it's in dollar sales, but I think it's in unit sales, definitely. But Google made an announcement about the Chromebooks, Joe.
Well, they made an announcement about the Chrome operating system.
Well, you can only get the Chrome operating system officially with a Chromebook.
No, not true. You can download it.
No. But that's not official,
so
okay?
You can get it.
You can get it, but it's not officially from Google. But if you want it, you got to buy it. Now, what's interesting is that they have announced that they will have shortly available before the end of the year, preferably more like they're shooting for the fall, the ability to run any of the Android apps on the Chromebook. Now, what they're saying, Joe, you said, gee, you can print with a Chromebook, but it's not a...
very convoluted, Hank.
Yeah, but you think about it, with most people, what do they use a computer for? I mean, PC sales are down. Why? Because all they need is a browser, right?
Oh.
And then you have some minor functions that if you happen to have the apps, like what's in the Android... That's all they really need. Now, a good example is PC sales have gone down. Joe, let me ask you this. How many minutes you put in a day on your laptop compared to your smartphone?
Where does my tablet fit in?
your tablet, I call it smartphone, okay?
So you want me to combine the smartphone and the tablet?
Yeah, because you're running the same operating system.
And you want me to compare that to my laptop and my desktop?
Yeah, and in terms of minutes.
That's easy. In terms of percentage, I would say 80% is on the so-called mobile or portable system.
Android. In your case, it's Android.
Android. And 20% would be split between my laptop and my desktop.
So what Google is doing is they're saying, hey, if we have all these apps running on Android, we move it over and make it available on the Chromebook. Do you think that's going to impact Microsoft?
Well, they're already looking towards that, and they're coming up with other plans and other features, particularly a thing called the cloud.
Yes. Now, I would say that they're going to do it. Google's going to do it. However, I won't get excited, at least not for the first 6 months to a year, okay? And there are a couple reasons why. Unless you're willing to spend a little more money, Chromebooks are cheap today. You can buy a Chromebook for $150, all right? Brand new, not refurb, not used, not, you know. But they don't have multi-touch. In other words, it's not a multi-touch screen. And how do you adapt these smartphone or tablet apps when you don't have multi-touch to a Chromebook that has no multi-touch screen?
Most of them that I can think of as the popular ones have the adaptation of being able to use a mouse or a keyboard.
Right. But so now I suspect two things are going to happen, okay, that many of these like Acer, Lenovo, HP with these Chromebooks, they're going to charge a little more, hopefully not too much more, so right now you can get Chromebooks for under $200, hopefully maybe slightly more than $200, or they can still maintain it.
Well, it depends on the
volume
differential between a flat screen monitor and a multi-touch monitor.
Yeah, so what I see is that the publishers of these apps, they have to do. They too have to make a change, because right now these apps are where the graphics are involved. They are scaled for low resolution because of the small screen. If you adapt it to a larger screen, they have to change the view on it. If you notice that when you go to a web page and it's on a desktop or regular screen, and you look at it on your phone, the format is completely different.
In some cases.
And if it's not completely different, you scroll like hell, okay? So I kind of suspect that some of these apps, which are only available on a tablet or smartphone, the publishers will move very quickly to it, okay? But it's going to happen, and you know what Windows is going to end up being, Joe?
What's that?
An enterprise operating system and for businesses. And over a short period of time, it's not going to be that long a period of time, the Google operating system will end up being the consumer operating system. That's my take on it.
And Windows will stay in the enterprise, and where will OS X be?
I think that, let me put it this way. Apple's not really putting too much resources into it. In fact, I'm scratching my head. Tim Cook has been on the air. He's been making all these product announcements, but they're incremental. And one of the complaints by many in the industry is it's lacking vision. Now, maybe they have products under wraps that we don't know about, but many of the financial analyst people are saying, where's the vision? Have you seen the vision, Joe?
Yes, I have, but I know you and I have talked about it, but I think they first have to spend a little bit more time with the Apple Watch. They have to spend a little bit more time with some of the cloud situations that they've got. But yes, the vision is there. It's growing, but it's growing incrementally, not radically.
Yeah, like I hear about the new iPhone 7 that's coming out. What's the big thing about it? A see-through screen. And I'm saying, huh? And I'm really saying, I think that, from Apple, people expect two things, okay? One is the quality of build, right? In other words, they expect a quality product. The other is they expect innovation, not little minor changes.
Well, no, actually, Hank, if you look at the last, I'll call them 10 years, they're not looking for great steps forward. The Apple products have always been solidly built, great fit and finish, and incrementally better than the year before. Just incrementally, nothing radical. And the fact that Steve Jobs used to say it was radical, that was his business. But they weren't radical. And when they came out with their Retina screen, and it was, you know, really, really promoted very heavily, very quietly in the background, Samsung came out with a screen that was four times better.
Yeah, but Joe, you know, you're talking about the software part of it.
No, I'm talking about hardware as well.
Okay, tell me what is so innovative about the iPhone SE.
That's the new small one.
At 16 gigabytes.
Yeah, but it also has 4K video in it.
And remember, what's the biggest complaint? There's more than one complaint, okay? Is there is no external storage capability.
Well, that's something that and Google is also fighting that thing.
And originally, there is no removable battery.
Originally, Google had the removable battery and the SD add-on discs. They're going away from that. Basically, what's happening out there in the field is anything that is good for the consumer is being overlooked for what would be good for the marketer.
Well, by the way, Joe, you know, during the course of the last 2-3 months, we've been coming up with little tech tips. That was one of them. And it's not really a tech tip. What we did was we put out an alert on the 16-gigabyte iPhone SEs that it's really limited usage and you should try, you know, spend $100 more, you get a heck of a lot more. You need more memory than what they give you, but at that low entry level. And then, you know, I've seen some authors, tongue-in-cheek, says, you can get it upgraded. All you have to do is get a ticket to go to Hong Kong, and there's a place you can upgrade it for $60, right?
Yeah, not counting the $2,000 transportation. It's a good deal.
Yeah. Well, now, on this urgent care pack, I have a lot of little tech tips on it. And, you know, so that was one of the things on it. But there's another thing on it that I just want to talk about, okay? Because this seems to be a common question I get from a lot of people. I want to donate my machine. How do I make sure that the information on it is wiped out?
Oh, that's easy.
Take the hard drive and put it.
Yeah, you open it up, take out the hard drive, and hit it with your friendly.
No. Wait. There's two different scenarios, okay? How do I clean out the system to give someone? And the other is, how do I dispose of it to make sure that Stevie's black book telephone numbers are no longer on it?
I told you. Take out the hard drive, hit it with a sledgehammer.
No, he wants to give the hard drive to.
No, we have two scenarios. One is you want to give it to your friend.
Yeah.
So without a hard drive.
You got to do a DOD wipe on the drive.
Ah, okay, Stevie. And what do you use as a DOD wipe?
DOD wipe.
D-band.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, there's a program you can download, D-band. Yeah. And I would say that I also recommend that where possible, okay? And it's, I would say almost, if it's a Seagate drive or a Western Digital drive, they have a low-level format program specific for the model hard disk itself. In other words, what it will is that it will rewrite all the timing bits on the drive. And when you rewrite all the timing bits, you've wiped out everything. I don't know about Hitachi. I don't know about Toshiba drives, whether they have utilities or not. But, however, it takes a long time to do it.
Oh, yeah, hours.
The greater the capacity, the longer it takes. Now, if you're giving it to a friend, one of the things that you can do is, because if you're giving it to a friend, I assume that, you're not going to, a hacker friend, you're not going to take some used equipment from you. Maybe they would, okay? It's just reinstall the operating system on top of it. Yes, is data, your old data on it? But unless you happen to be a nerd or geek, the chances are whoever you give to is not going to go around trying to reconstruct what you had on it. At least,
Hank, aren't there also some shareware software that will nuke your hard drive?
Yeah, well, the D-band is a case in point where it's a DOD, it meets DOD specs. Okay?
Turns it all into zeros.
Yeah, in other words, it literally writes zeros. But if you do a low-level format, you're also rewriting the timing bit so that you literally, in a sense, if it's truly done right, you have different tracking on it to begin with, so you can't even get to it. Okay, so
I still like my solution.
What is that?
If it don't work the first time, use a bigger hammer.
Sledgehammer, right.
Well, you know what? I also would recommend only if you want to destroy the drive, but not to... you remember at... we used to be at 35th Street and... was it 8th Avenue?
Yeah, 8th Avenue. 505 8th Avenue.
505 8th Avenue. That's where WBAI was. And they had this big... platter magnetic thing.
Oh, to erase the
tape. You're saying the bulk eraser, the degausser.
Right. It's huge.
Well, remember, in those days, we were, for the most part, dealing with reel-to-reel magnetic tape.
Well, it also wiped clean not only the 12-inch tapes. I used to bring in floppy diskettes. That took care of it. It took care of
But when you did it with the platters on your hard drive or with the floppy diskettes, once you degaussed them, once you bulk erased them, they weren't usable anymore.
Not true. Because on a floppy disk, you could just reformat it. That's all.
Yeah.
And on a hard disk, guess what? You could just you have to literally reformat it.
More than that, you needed a low-level reformatting because the timing bits were erased.
But if you're throwing it away... you don't have to worry about it.
That's correct. And that was the same thing if you use a sledgehammer.
Now, it's you know, how it is, and if there is a 5% chance of something happening, they always quote you the 5%. But in 95% of the cases, if you were to format that drive, a hard disk drive, and give it to someone, yes, they can go rebuild it and so on and use it. But one of the reasons why they don't recommend it is because the magnetic force on it could not that it would, it could cause bending in the platter, which
what?
Could yes it can because of the magnetic force in it. And what's the chance of
you're
that
talking about if you use a bulk eraser
that bulk eraser
oh
right.
That is some bulk eraser.
Well, you know, the fact that, you know, there's a very small chance that it could cause a little bending on
platter.
It that can throw it off.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I've been looking to buy another. I've had two bulk erasers I've gone through.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to find it, and it used to be you go to Radio Shack to buy it. I don't know where you can buy it now.
I saw a store where they had them right next to the buggy whips.
You know, Joe, I got to tell you something about Stevie today, all right?
Oh.
He has no more asthma today.
You know, the people, they think that I have asthma now because of you. Asthma.
We are on the air right now on this extended edition of the Personal Computer Show.
And it's almost 8
we
o'clock.
Will continue through 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, but we are asking that you support WBAI.
Yeah.
The phone number is 516-620-3602. And one of the things that we haven't talked
would
about
you
yet.
Please stop making me interrupt to give the URL. You give the URL.
No, I was going to ask you, Joe, because there's one.
If you have a phone which will not reach the 516 area code, use your internet connection and go to www.wbai.org or give to WBAI.org. That's G-I-V-E, number 2, WBAI.org.
We actually have two other means where you can make a donation to the station, and Joe, I was going to ask you to talk about the BAI Buddy.
Well, a BAI buddy is somebody who makes a one-time pledge that keeps on giving every month for a year. You go to give2wbai.org and you sign up to become a BAI buddy, which means whether it's $10 or $20 or $50 a month, every month, charged either coming out electronically from your bank account or charged to your credit card. That way you can give a significant amount of money without being hurt each month. Just each month a small amount will be taken out.
That's a good idea.
The station will be able to know that they can, for their budget, they can count on receiving that small amount 12 consecutive months.
Now, it's 516-620-3602. And Joe, for those who perhaps want to make a one-time donation, how do they do that?
Again, they can call that phone number you just gave or go to give2wbai.org or wbai.org, www.wbai.org, and they can pledge, put in a pledge for their favorite show.
And who should they write down is their favorite show on WBAI?
Off the Hook.
Well, either Off the Hook, but I would prefer you do the personal computer shows.
That's a good show too.
I am on, and I would really hope that you would want to listen to us every week. As a matter of fact, I would like to listen to us every week. Make a pledge to your favorite show, and it might be any one of the numerous really good shows that are on WBAI, or it could be any one of the numerous really bad shows that are on WBAI also. Just make a pledge.
By the way, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is how do you handle a hard disk drive, you know, if you're giving it away or you're throwing it out. But one of the things I do want to address is what if you want to give away a system that has a solid state drive?
Really?
Now you have a real dilemma. And the reason why it's a dilemma is because on a hard disk drive, okay, you can do a low-level format, change your timing bits on it, or rewrite the timing bits, or use D-band and write zeros over the entire surface, okay? But in the case of solid-state drive, when you do those writes, you shorten the life of the drive because there are only a finite number of writes you can do on a solid-state drive.
How many?
Well, it depends on the drive, and that's why one of the things that they recommend is you never defrag a solid-state drive.
They now have, and I haven't tested it out, so I won't give you the manufacturer or recommend it, but they now have, some of the manufacturers have come out with a way of actually defragging a solid-state drive without defragging it.
You know what? You got to have to do some research and let the people know when we're on the air next time, Joe.
Are we on the air next month?
Well,
Joe's still out.
You know, I know that when we were on 2 weeks ago, we were a little disappointed that there was some support, but we need more support than just a little bit of support. I realized that, you know, people would say to us, but we donated 2 months ago. Unfortunately, the station is in dire straits. There are a lot of things that the station should be doing, we're not doing. There are, you know, when they say that, you know, you cut the operations down to the bare bones, but sometimes there are certain things that you just can't cut, and we've cut, and when you pass the bare bone, we're on life support. Really, we are. We really need, you know, we talk about it, and sometimes we try to say it with, you know, we don't want to sound like a doom and gloom, but we really do need financial support for the station. How much longer can we continue on this? Well, right now, it's been like we hold our breath from, you know, every 2 months, every time we go through this. So now I know that there are people who listen to the show. I've seen them at the Trenton Computer Festival. I see some of them at meetings. Sometimes I, you know, bump into people. They recognize the voice when I happen to be shopping. But we really need your support. I know that many of the listeners, we know we have listeners. We just, you know, I'm just asking you to open it up. Just think of it this way. If the Personal Computer Show is no longer on the air, does it matter to you?
Yes.
And if it matters to you, dig a little deeper, make a donation out of the goodness of your heart. I know that some of the people, they want to make a donation, but they disagree with some of the programs on the station. They don't like the politics. They don't like the tone. They don't like the whatever the reason is. Look, we're asking you to make a donation, and the number is 516-620-3602 because you want the Personal Computer Show to continue. Now, we've been on the air since 1983. We're probably one of the longest running shows still on WBAI. Joe and I at the outset, and Stevie and Michael Horowitz and Alfred Poor and David.
David Burstein.
We have a whole lot of people. Everyone who's been participating on the show has been doing it gratis. We don't get paid at all, okay? So if your question is, why do you do it? Well, I'll tell you the reason why I do it, okay? Number one is I find there's a lot of joy in giving information, helping people, and I really do, I really get a big kick out of that. But in doing that, I continue to learn. Now, I've been, I go back in computing, going back to 1960. I'm probably one of the few people that can say, gee, you've been working with computers since 1960? Yes. Back when it was, vacuum tube. Back when it was...
Oh, my goodness.
And people would say, well, we were talking to Fred Kaplan 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to him about his book, and he was talking about, gee, how a lot of this thing about cybersecurity and some of the architecture started, and he was talking about a location in Santa Monica, and I said, yeah, 2500 Colorado Avenue, and he looks at me and he says, wow. You go back that far? Yeah, I remember how fast the machine was. 24 instructions per second. Not 24,000,
wow.
Not 24 million, but 24 instructions per second.
What year was that, Hank? You got to come into the 90s, though.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, I've been going through the different progression. We do it so we can share with you our... really experience what we see. We know what's happening, and Joe, I was going to look it up, I didn't get a chance, but what is the definition and what's the origin of Bronx chair?
Well, the origin was not the Yankees, but the Giants up on Coogan's Bluff. Why they called what other people called a raspberry with the Bronx chair. I'm not really sure.
Well, the thing was, Polo's Ground was in Manhattan.
Yes, and they were making the sound across the Spuyten Duyvil to where the Yankee Stadium was.
Well, the reason why I say that is because we have given products the Bronx chair. We have given vendors the Bronx chair. We have even identified stores that give them the Bronx chair. In other words... what we do is really very unusual. If you pick up any computer journal, computer magazine, have you noticed that they have advertisers? And because they have advertisers, when they do a product review, have you noticed that almost all the products are above average? You ask yourself, if all the products they review are above average, what the heck is average? And when a product stinks, how come you don't see it published at all? Or very rarely do you see it. Now, we have gone on the air and actually say, don't shop at so-and-so. Don't buy this product. We've been critical of IBM. We've been critical of Microsoft. You heard us tonight. We've been critical of Microsoft for the way they're handling the way they're pushing Windows 10 out. And as what Stevie said, a caller called up and said, you got bamboozled. hey, Microsoft, you keep doing that, and people are going to lose trust in the company itself.
And then what?
Okay, so we have not.
Wait a minute. They lose trust in the company, and then what do?
They go elsewhere.
Do they really?
Really? Where are they going to go?
You know what?
To Apple.
Let me put it this way, Joe. That's why I said people will no longer shy away from, you know, all they have to, by the way, all Google has to do is put a couple of things into the Chromebook and people will start buying it, okay? Can I tell you what the 3-4 features are?
Go ahead.
Be able to go out to a local printer, number one. Incorporate Wine so that you can run Windows apps on it. Number three is tell the vendors put a touchscreen on it. That's it. Guess what? If you can do that and the way that the Chromebook is set up, you're going to have a lot of people buying it. And in a way, for 80% of the people I deal with, that's all they need. And I would recommend it. And you know why, Joe? Because every time they have a problem, instead of me sitting there, oh, okay, go to the start, go to the control panel.
Hank.
All I have to do is just do a factory reset.
Fine, just do a factory reset. But that's, and just make sure that you're totally backed up so you don't lose any of your data. And make sure that that your vendor is keeping up to date on the operating system, because you're getting it from not from the manufacturer, but from the vendor. You know, Hank, Android Marshmallow came out a year ago.
Well, you're talking about Android as
yes,
a,
I'm
as,
talking as about a, Android.
Okay. It's a little different from the Chromebook. Okay?
Not a lot. Android Marshmallow came out a year ago. I'm a Verizon customer. I have a Samsung Note. I haven't gotten the update yet. It's when Microsoft comes out with an update, pretty much the whole country has it available at the same time, right after they release it. Google has to come up with some better system than they have with Android or Chrome.
But it isn't that difficult for them to do it, okay? It really shouldn't. By the way, Joe, let me just say that this is WBAI-FM, 99.5 New York. And one of the things I do want to... and since we're
Wait a minute. You haven't told the audience why we're here.
Well, this is part of the Personal Computer Show, where it's past 8 o'clock. We are officially on our regular time schedule.
And if you like listening to us, especially if you haven't heard us for the past 1 hour, please make a pledge at WBAI for your favorite show. Hopefully it's us, the Personal Computer Show. You can make that pledge by going to www.wbai.org or give to wbai.org. That's G-I-V-E, number 2, WBAI. Or you can call long distance to Hank.
Well, they can call long distance, and the long distance number is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Now, we've covered a couple of things. We say that, you know, you can say you could be a BAI buddy by making a set contribution of at least $10 a month for a year.
But it could be 20 or 25, whatever you can afford.
Or you can make a one-time donation of $25 or more, and your favorite show is the Personal Computer Show. We have also available the Windows 10 free distribution disk that it can be used for upgrade, and that's a $75 requested donation. We have the Urgent Care Pack also for $75, and we got chock full of stuff in that, all right? We have tech tips in there. We have these utility programs recovering data, and one of the things that someone came up to me over the weekend was they have a digital camera. They took the SD chip out. They put it in their card reader, and they can't read it. Guess what? We have a utility program for that, okay? We also have the Windows 7 and XP legacy support. In other words, if you have to rebuild your Windows 7 system, we got it in there. We got the roll-up, Microsoft call up the roll-up updates, okay? We also have the XPM in there so that if you're running Windows 7 you could still run Windows XP programs. Microsoft made available a free professional XP copy when they had it out. Of course, they've taken it down. It's available. It's called Windows XPM, and it can run under Windows 7. So if you happen to have old hardware, you only have software drivers for XP, you can use it. Although they call it a virtual operating system, it really isn't a virtual operating system. It allows you to run XP drivers, programs, one at a time. It's, in other words, you can have a Windows 7 program using Windows XP hardware drivers. So it's not really a virtual operating system, although they call it that. Hey, Joe, there's one thing I did want to talk about because I know you were, I mentioned it, and you were very frustrated by it.
What's that, Hank?
Well, I said, you know, one of the things we should tell people is that if you happen to have a smartphone, you don't always have to rely on a data plan, use up the minutes on it, and when you have no coverage, you can still hear the personal computer show by using the FM radio, you know, because there's a little, there's FM capability in all these smartphones. And then you said, no, right?
Well, I said, there may be the capability, but a lot of us don't have the ability to access that capability.
Well, I said to you, if you have a T-Mobile phone, if you have a Sprint phone, what's the problem, Joe? You have Verizon. How come you can't get the personal computer show on it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can. I can.
Without a data plan.
Oh, I can't do it that way because they don't make any money if I don't use their data plan.
Now, are you saying in a negative way that you would give Verizon Wireless a Bronx cheer for that because they disabled it?
Oh, that's not the only thing I would give Verizon a Bronx cheer. There's very little I would not give them a Bronx cheer about.
Oh, come on now.
Settle the strike.
Huh? Now, wait a minute now. The workers, they're on strike, and you don't give them the Bronx cheer, right? You shouldn't.
No.
The workers are on strike to get a fair deal, and I think that the consumers should go on strike to get a fair deal also.
Well, yeah. Where is the consumer not getting a fair deal?
First of all, Verizon controls the hardware. Instead of letting the manufacturer determine what the hardware should do, Verizon puts their own 2 cents worth. Verizon does not distribute the updates to the operating system in a timely or user-friendly manner. Most Verizon phones are 3 to 5 years behind what Google is issuing. It's really pathetic. Verizon blocks out things like the FM chip on the hardware because they can't make money with an FM chip in the phone. Yet, they don't give me a discount when I buy the phone because they've disabled part of the phone. I have to pay for that chip. I'm just not allowed to use it. And it goes on and on and on. Verizon has done something. I have no idea what. To make my apartment invisible to their cell towers. 2 years ago, I was getting perfect reception in my home. Now I get 1 to 1.5 bars reception. I don't like Verizon.
Hey, Joe, you know, maybe you should exercise the Joe King rule. The Joe King rule was that if Joe buys something, you know the price is going to be going down in the next week, right?
Right, that's normal.
Okay. If Joe King was to drop Verizon, Verizon will probably have that feature that he's angry about not getting the next week.
Well, I actually went to, Stevie told me the name of somebody in the executive offices I could speak to. This was a couple of years ago. And I spoke to her, and she was really terribly polite and very nice. And as a matter of fact, she even gave me 6 months free service, feeling so bad. But it was six months of free bad service. I didn't have to pay for it, but I would have been unhappy.
Now, how can you complain when you're not paying for it?
Because after 6 months, I had to pay for it again. The thing is, they know there are problems, but they're not willing to fix them because to fix them, they would have to put money into old technology. and they have not updated the technology at my CO, my central office. But on the other hand, they want to charge me full price for it. I don't understand why. I'm sure Stevie will tell me there's perfectly bad reasons for it, which is why his colleagues are on strike.
Yeah, so they make billions of dollars, right?